Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome in to another episode of Prep Rally. Brad and Dalton here with you on this July the 18th, the dead middle of summer. Dalton, how you been?
I'm good. I've been keeping myself busy trying to figure out how to do some stories on football, baseball, whatever we can kind of get our hands on, try to fill up the paper for the last 2-3 weeks before football practice starts.
Yeah, it is kind of a bit of a dead period, if you will. And I was on vacation last week, so that made it more fun for you. But I'm back, and so we've got some stuff to talk about. Again, you know, we're still a few weeks away from football starting, about 4 weeks. August 16th, that Thursday, is the first night of action. Now, preseason drills start in less than 2 weeks, July 30th, Monday after next. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to be out hitting that pretty hard, by the way, that opening day of practice. We'll be at several schools checking in on teams as they get that cranked up. So we do have some football to talk about. Got a little baseball to talk about, too. And so we'll get into that in just a minute. Just a reminder that you can access this show in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com, coming to you every Wednesday, except when we don't, like last week. But otherwise, and by the way, no show next week, because I'm taking next Wednesday off. It's my 20th wedding anniversary, so probably should not come into work that day.
Yeah, I'd say I would support that.
Yeah,
that don't want you to get in trouble.
No, so yeah, so no show next week, but we're here today. And hey, don't forget also to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's start with the baseball news. Dalton, last week while I was gone, Houston found a new baseball coach because, Scott Gann, first of all, left, a very successful head coach at Houston, to take an assistant coaching job at Tupelo. So, you know, you leave a successful program, being the head of a successful program, to be an assistant, albeit at a 6A school that's good every year. But he had a good reason, didn't he?
Yeah, I talked to him for a pretty good bit, and the only reason that really mattered to him was his family. He said as he's doing more and more at Houston, you know, he's driving 45 minutes because he lives in Tupelo, 45
right.
minutes to work and then back every single day. And his oldest kids are getting to the point now where he's starting to miss things because he's having to drive an hour away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So he figured, I can kind of step down, get into a lesser role on the team, and go to Tupelo, which, you know, he's very successful, and he's going to be an assistant coach job, so he's not going to –
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't I'm not going to say you don't have to put in the same amount of work because he's going to work regardless, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's a head coaching is a whole different deal when you're the head guy.
And, you know, he's going to be able to spend more time with his family now, which is what is important to him. And so
right.
I respect it.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, he could very well be a head coach again in the near future. Wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. He told me that if it had been anywhere other than Tupelo, he would have said no and he'd still be at Houston. So I think that kind of says a lot about the reasoning. And, you know, some people could say they did it for their family, but I think it shows a lot that he actually did it, and it's the only place he would have gone.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, Houston loses him. That's a big loss. Of course, remember they lost to Luke Atkins, one of their assistants, a few weeks ago when he took the head coaching job at Starkville. So they're kind of starting over down there, but they appear to be in good hands. They got a veteran coach, Brian Goodman, who's been around a while, Dalton. What do you know about him?
He's been a head coach for right at 20 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was at Puckett, Lake, and Quitman, and then the latest, he was an assistant coach at Biloxi, and I think he just kind of wanted to – he told me he wanted to be in a good baseball environment, and Houston kind of supplied that. You know, they had a very rich baseball school, and he said he couldn't turn it down whenever he was offered, and he just wanted it. I actually, when I got to talking to him, we had a good, you know, probably 15-minute conversation, and – he actually coached against me whenever I was in high school. He was at Puckett whenever I was in high school, and they were one of our rivals. And I asked him what he remembered about whenever he was there, and because we played a lot, and we probably played 4 or 5 times, 6 times in the 2 years that he was there. And he said he remembered one of the games that we played in, and it was a game that snowed, and we played against him. It was the most miserable game I've ever been. He said it was the most miserable game he'd ever been a part of.
Played in the snow.
We did. He said it was the worst game he's ever coached in his baseball career. And I remember directly, and whenever he said that game, I remembered exactly what it was because I remember being so miserable in that game because it was so cold.
Why would you play in the snow? I guess
that's a good question. Why don't you ask him, my coach from back in the day? But
I don't know if I've ever seen a baseball game played in the snow.
It was awful. You don't want to imagine. It was awful.
No, you foul one off on the handle, and your hands probably sting for the rest of the day. Jeez.
But he's a veteran coach. He's been in a lot of places. He's won a lot of games. He wanted to be somewhere rich in baseball, so he comes to Houston, and he's going to have the opportunity next year. They're going to have about five or six guys that are coming back that had a lot of experience last year.
Yeah.
You know, most importantly, I think Gage Harrington, he's going to be their ace.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably play a little outfield. Eli Hancock, shortstop, coming back. And then you got Kevin Diaz, you got Briley Poteet, you got a bunch of guys that are coming back that kind of played spot positions or and you know they're going to be good again. So I mean,
yeah, certainly they'll be a team to watch again in 3A. Some other baseball to talk about. You had a story the other day on one of the best players in the area, Hayden Harris, the catcher of from Pontotoc. He's going to be a senior this coming season. Really, kind of, I guess this was kind of a breakout year for him. Dalton, I mean, he led the state in RBIs and hit over 500. Just had a monster season, didn't he?
Yeah, he had 60 RBIs, which is in 29 games, I think. That's basically unheard of.
That's two a game. Jeez.
Yeah, I think he had, if I remember correctly, whenever I wrote the story, he had 18, 17 games where he had multiple hits. And it was just, he's just on a tear. I think he only had two games where he didn't have a hit all season. One was the opening game, and then one was like against Caledonia or something.
Yeah.
But you know, he's easily one of the best hitters in the area. He's proved that over the last 2 years. I'd love to say that this was a breakout year. He hit like 527, but the year before that, he hit, I think, 460.
Oh, okay, well.
But he didn't have the home runs. He didn't have anything else like that. And this year, he just kind of found this power stroke. And I asked him, I was like, is there ever a point in time during the season where you just kind of thought that it was going to slow down?
Yeah.
Because he was just on the tear, and he said no. That he had that Caledonia game where he said the weather got to him, and he just didn't really know what happened that game. I guess it just the pitcher got the better of him. But he said after that, he just got right back into it and was just, you know, tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets his swings in, doesn't he? Practicing.
Yeah. He has the bat and cages over there at Pontotoc. And then he said on a rainy day, he'll go over there, take 500 swings, and then he'll leave and go to his dad owns a gym in Pontotoc.
Yeah.
He got some batting cages in there. He'll said just go in there with his hitting coach and just swing for hours.
Wow.
He said he tries to get about 500 a day, which is a lot. And then he said some weeks, I guess he takes it. Of course, he takes a few days off.
Right.
He said he loves to get himself about, you know, 1,500, 2,000, even sometimes more than 2,000 swings a week, just trying to improve the swing, repetition.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also a pretty good defensive catcher, isn't he, Dalton? Is he still trying to work on some that part of his game?
Yeah, that's what he's doing this summer. He's trying to improve some time, get stronger. I know last year I didn't ever really put the connection together when I was doing football preview stuff last year, was that he was one of the middle linebackers that were hurt, so he didn't play last year. And he said this summer that's all he's been working on, trying to improve his pop time. He's got four errors in two seasons on the plate. I mean, he's got great defensive numbers, but it just gets overshadowed by his offense. He said that's what he's been working on this summer, is just working on defense, trying to get stronger and improve his pop time, which is sitting about 1.9 right now.
Yeah, okay. And he's giving up football, right?
Yep, he hung the cleats up. I asked him that, and he said that he was just going to focus on baseball. He's getting some interest right now from some various JUCOs. I think he's got an offer from probably five or six different JUCOs. I think he's getting a little D1 interest, but
may get more if he has another good season as a senior.
Mm-hmm. I think he might opt in for the JUCO route, which I think is smart.
Yeah, a lot of great JUCO programs in the state. Yes, so certainly.
I could see that. Watch out for him. He might, you know, even commit sometime soon this summer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess we'll see for there.
And he's certainly got to watch out for next season when you're talking about the Daily Journal Player of the Year. He was in consideration this year for that award. Yeah, and so Hayden Harris, so check out Dalton's story from the other day. You can find it at djournal.com. Let's talk a little bit of football, Dalton. I mentioned at the top of the show that we're about 4 weeks away from the season starting, less than 2 weeks until practices start, and that means that we're smack in the middle of trying to get the football tab done, as we call it, the annual football journal, where, of course, we have previews on all the high school teams and junior college and college teams as well. But as far as you and I are concerned, we're worried about the high schools. And we're going to, you know, it's going to be like it is every year. We'll have a short preview on every team, a lot of good info in there. We're going to talk to all the coaches, see who they think will be the key players this year. And it's a lot of work, but it's fun. And it's a good way to connect with these coaches and just, you know, kind of increase our knowledge of things. But that comes out August 12th. That'll be a Sunday, August 12th, the Sunday before the season begins. And like I said, we'll have team previews. We'll have a list of players to watch. Been working on that. About get that set, really. And we'll also have our preseason rankings, Dalton. And we're putting you in charge of that this year. So all the angry readers can direct their ire to you when their team isn't ranked high enough. Working on that right now. And preseason rankings are the toughest because you look at what they did last year and you take that into consideration, but then you have to look at what's coming back for this certain team, and there's a lot of unknowns. Some new players will step up and make a big impact. So maybe this team that lost a lot will still be good because again, a lot of unknown. Then you got teams like, just for instance, Houston, who has pretty much everybody back. So you know they're going to be a highly ranked team. And just to recap, if you don't remember how we do the rankings, we do large school and small school. The large school rankings are classes 4, 5, and 6A. Small school 1, 2, and 3A. We do a top 5 for each. And really, I guess a big question people want to know is who's going to be the number one large school. Remember last year we started with Tupelo. A lot of people thought it should have been West Point, and those people were right, I guess. In the end, that's what it was. It was West Point.
Yeah.
And those are two teams that would, again, be in consideration to be the number one team in our preseason rankings, as well as Starkville. So you got those three teams that you could make really good arguments for, Dalton. And let's start with West Point. That's one of those teams. You know, like I said, some teams lose a lot. West Point has lost a lot of production. Marcus Murphy, the MSU signee, the running back. Chris Calvert, the other running back that was really good.
Okay.
Jason Brownlee, the really
Terrence Cherry.
Yeah, they had Terrence Cherry on defense. Brownlee was a really good wide receiver. And I think they've lost, their top 5 or 6 tacklers, something like that. And their leading returning rusher doesn't have that many yards.
I think they're returning receiver has like 9 catches for 70 yards or something like that. You know, I don't know how many offensive line they got coming back. I think they're probably close to 3, maybe, they have offensive line coming back, which is going to be great for them.
Right.
But just the skill guys not coming back, it kind of, I'm not going to say it turns me off from them being number one because, you know, they're just so excellent. Even if they're having a down year,
yeah,
it's, you know, they're still probably going to win 8-9 games. They're just going to be fantastic. So, this is one of the ones, looking at it in the preseason, I think as the season goes on, it's going to get super easy. But right now, I have no idea because...
Yeah, and the argument for West Point, another argument for them is, well, they finished number one last year, and they've won, 28
in a row.
28 in a row. So it's kind of like the Alabama thing. My philosophy with Alabama is don't bet against them until they lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they should be number one until somebody beats them. Like going into this season, my number one team would probably be Alabama. And so you could make the same kind of argument for West Point, you know, rank them number one until they lose. But, again, they'll... You know, like you said, they'll be fine. I mean, it's just the unknown. They're going to have some guys who haven't had to perform a lot to step up and do that. And I'm sure they will because, you know, if you read my story about the middle school programs a couple of weeks ago and how the West Point is one of those programs that really just they just churn out really good football players from that level into the varsity. They do that, and that's why they're consistently good. So I'm sure they'll be in the mix in 5A this year. Then you got Starkville, though. That's more of a known commodity. Went to the state title game last year in 6A, lost to Pearl. They've got a lot of pieces back, Dalton, and that's a team that I think a lot of people like as maybe even the best in the state going into the season.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of rankings and a lot of people talking about how Starkville, no one's even close to them.
Yeah.
Which you don't know that until they play a game.
Right.
Which, you know, I think if I remember correctly, when I did a story on them not too long ago, they have 12 starters returning, 5 on offense, 7 on defense. And I'd probably say probably 5 or 6 of them are D1. I know Malik Brown just moved over to wide receiver. That puts Luke Altmaier, quarterback. He's already got D1 offers. You know,
yeah, he's a good player.
Drake Clark, the running back, he's already committed to Memphis. You know, they have a I think I got some defensive players. One's committed to Tennessee and all kinds of stuff.
You got Jaleel Clemens there, the defensive end. You got Zach Edwards, the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Got some really good players on both sides of the ball. Chris Jones, of course, he won a state title a few years ago at Kemper County. And he got Starkville to the title game last year. So, and they got Jonathan Banks, on the coaching staff. You know, if you know that, you should know that name, former MSU and NFL player. So, Starkville is kind of a sexy pick for number one, and not a bad pick either. Now, they have to play West Point during the season. Mm-hmm. That's a big rival game, and so that will give us a pretty good idea. In fact, I think Starkville was the last team to beat West Point.
They were.
Yeah, but West Point got them last year, so that'll kind of sort itself out a little bit as far as those two teams. And then you got Tupelo, Dalton, and there's a team that's kind of intriguing to me because offensively we know they're going to be good because of who they've got back, like Stephon McGlon at quarterback and Jordan Jernigan at receiver, and they got a bunch of good receivers. Do have some guys to replace up front with the offensive line, and you've got the new offensive line coach there / offensive coordinator with Ryan Keaton, who was a successful head coach at Nanawaya. So you feel like they'll be in pretty good shape there. Defense is the big question. They lose those linebackers, and they're going to be, as Trenton Hammond has told us more than once, going to be a lot smaller on defense, but maybe make up for it with some speed. So going to be a different kind of look there for Tupelo, at least on the defensive side, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, last year and the 2 years past, they've been just so good defensively. But, you know, you don't really think about how good that offense has been, because last year they led 6A in offense, and they returned all their skill guys back this year, besides one.
Yeah.
And the offensive line, I don't know much about. You know, I don't think anybody knows much about them. Trent Hammond might not know much about them yet.
Yeah.
But I think that offense is going to have to kind of carry the young defense, the smaller defense. Not the entire season, no, but until they kind of find themselves, kind of find what that defense is going to be.
Yeah.
And but I think that offense is going to be so good that, you know, Tupelo is going to be successful again just because of that.
Yeah.
Before the defense catches up or before the defense starts playing. And
yeah. I mean, if they have to outscore some people, they can do that, yeah. I think. So, and this is a team that, again, like I said, they were ranked number one much of last year, went undefeated in the regular season, then lost in the first round of the playoffs. And 6A is just so stacked. It's, you know, they lost to a Warren Central team that was a 4 seed, but coming out of the division they came out of, they could have easily
been the 1 seed going into the last week of the season.
Exactly. So no shame in that. So Tupelo is another team there that you could consider, I think, for being the number one large school. And there's others, again, there's other teams that will be, again, it's the top five. So those are just three of them. But I think those would be the three favorites. But we'll have to wait until August 12th to see what we decide, and then you can send Dalton all your angry emails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, August 12th, that's when the football tap comes out. We're working hard on that. A couple of other notes before we get out of here. Slow pitch softball starts soon. Don't forget, preseason practices start Monday, next week. Yeah, high school stuff is happening starting next week, Dalton.
I think they had a volleyball. There might be a volleyball game today. I think the All-Star game still from last year is today. I don't know.
Well, they start practices next week too, I think. Volleyball does.
I don't know.
And the season for those for softball, I know, starts in early August. I want to say maybe volleyball too. And you got cross country and other, you know, those kind of sports that are starting up.
The summer was short.
it tends to be. So that's coming up. And one quick news item. He's not in high school anymore, but he was very recently. Now he's at Morehead State. Tata Strickland, the former Corinth basketball standout, signed with Morehead State. Has been up there this summer, going through off-season work with the team. And unfortunately, Tata has suffered an Achilles injury, hasn't he?
Yeah, he ruptured his Achilles tendon. Was on Sunday, I think the 7th, maybe whatever that Sunday was, about a week and a half ago, and he had surgery last Friday, and I talked to his dad yesterday. He said about 6 to 9 month recovery time. I don't know if that's until he can start rehab, or if that's doesn't sound like a full recovery for Achilles tendon.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad injury to have.
You know, we'll see. I'm guessing he's going to take a medical, you know, red shirt. I'd hope so he doesn't miss his freshman season. But
yeah, certainly.
You know.
Yeah. Best wishes to Tata. Of course, he's one of the most dynamic players in the area last year, averaged about 23.5 points a game, led Corinth to the 4A title game.
Was the first team all area pick.
Sure was. They led them to a state title, I think it was 2016. So best wishes to Tata Strickland and his recovery. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks again for joining us. You can access this show every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And again, no show next week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. And also, remember to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8. I'm on there at Bradlock. All right, that's it for this episode. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks.